Welcome again. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. Thank you for joining in today, brothers and sisters. I pray this is going to indeed be a blessing to you today. We're going to go back into our study of sin. And you say, well, Brother Thurman, how can sin be a blessing? Well, the knowledge of it, knowing what God says about it, and knowing the remedies for it. And it just so happens that we have to study this, and we have to know the ins and the outs about this matter of sin, so we know what we're talking about when we're ready to give an answer to somebody that asks us of the hope that's in us. You say that you're saved. They say you're saved from what? Saved from sin. Well, what is sin? Can we answer that? Well, we will be able to after we get done with this, won't we? But we're going to name these sins, and we started out our last program, our last recording, we started naming them, didn't we? If you remember right, remember what we did last on our recording and spoke about was sins that proceed out of the heart of man and defile him. And the Lord said that that which goeth in a man, it doesn't defile him, and that was a bunch of nonsense. He said it's what comes out of a man's heart that defiles him. And we had went over those individually, sins, for instance, evil and thoughts of man proceed out of his heart that are evil, and we know that to be true, adulteries and fornications and murders, thefts. We also talked about covetousness and wickedness and deceit and lasciviousness. We talked about the evil eye and blasphemy and pride and foolishness. These things proceed out of the heart of man and defile him. That was our last study. Now, these individual sins, individualized sins, we're going to be talking about for several, probably several more recordings, several more lessons, that is. And you're going to hear these things repeated. But the topic that we're going to be talking about is described differently in the scriptures. For instance, the ones that we read, these sins, now, but it helps put all this together. You're going to hear this over the sins which proceed out of the heart of man and defile him. Now, I'm trying to tell you how the lesson's going to help us. Okay, and today we're going to get into a topic of sins of those, and we're talking about sins, but we're talking about sins of those who will not retain God in their knowledge and are turned over to a reprobate mind. Now, when the Lord is talking about the topic of people with a reprobate mind and the ones that he's turned over to a reprobate mind because they don't want anything to, they don't want any of God in their knowledge. They don't want to hear nothing about God. They don't want God or anything about God in their mind or in their heart or their understanding, in their knowledge. Okay, well, that's a different topic than what the Bible was talking about when we was talking about sins which proceed out of the heart of man and defile him. Okay, a different topic, but you're going to hear the sins spoken again. So that's how it's going to be for the next couple lessons. And we're going to go over some of these. Some of them the topic will not apply to us because it speaks specifically of unsaved people. But some of them will. Now, the topics won't, apply to us, but the sins are going to be repeated, and we can apply that to us, and we can be reminded. So, some of these sins are going to be repeated 4 or 5 times under the topics that we're going to talk about. That's what I'm trying to say. I guess I could have said that a little shorter. But I ain't never been known for short things like that, and trying to explain something. So thank you for bearing with me. But we're carrying on and getting on into our study today. We're going to talk about sins of those who will not retain God in their knowledge and are turned over to a reprobate mind. Now, the scripture says in Romans chapter 1 and verse 28 through 32 is what the topic's talking about. And the Lord says, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, they didn't like it. They didn't want God in their knowledge. They didn't like it. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness. Now the Bible says in this topic that they fill themselves with these things, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, full of it, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which do such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. They kind of root each other on and clap for each other and have pleasure when they see somebody else doing them. Yeah. Sins of those who will not retain God in their knowledge and are turned over to a reprobate mind. God gets tired of messing with them and talking to them and trying to get them to repent and giving them opportunity to come to Him and accept the Lord Jesus Christ and to start cleaning their lives up and God the Holy Ghost to help them out like He's helping us out. But they don't want that. They don't want that. These don't like to retain God in their knowledge. And the scripture says, they not only do these things, but have pleasure in the other ones that do it. And they are filled up with these sins. The Bible didn't say that about the other things that proceed out of the heart of man that defile him. It didn't say anything about being full of. This says several times about being full of envy, filled with all unrighteousness and fornication and wickedness and covetousness and maliciousness. These enjoy their sin and they welcome it. And you see the difference in the topic? But some of the sins, let's go over those. And we're going to go over every one that's under each topic. The first one, the Lord says that these people that do not like to retain God in their knowledge or don't want to have God in their knowledge or think about God, have pleasure in each other and kind of a brotherhood of sinners, and they've come out of the closet and don't mind telling people. Unrighteousness. We went over that. That was one of the other ones. Injustice, a violation of the divine law or of the plain principles of justice and equity. Wickedness, now we're talking about unrighteousness. Unrighteousness may consist of a single unjust act, but more generally, when applied to persons, it denotes a habitual course of wickedness. You see, full of it. Full of it. A habitual course of wickedness, unrighteousness. The next one was fornication. That was on the last one, mentioned again here. The incontinence or lewdness of unmarried persons, male or female. Also, the criminal conversation of a married man with an unmarried woman. Adultery, incest, idolatry. Fornication was mentioned. Another one was wickedness. I think this is a new one on this list here. I'm not sure whether it was mentioned on the last one or not. I don't think it was. But what is wickedness? Well, wickedness is a departure from the rules of the divine law. That sounds familiar. Evil disposition or practices, immorality, crime, sin, sinfulness, corrupt manners, Wickedness generally signifies evil practices. In Judges, in chapter 20, verse 12, the Bible says, "And the tribes of Israel sent men through all the tribe of Benjamin, saying, 'What wickedness is this that is done among you?'" Mentioned there in Judges. Wickedness. What else? Well, Psalm chapter 5, verse 9 mentions it. "For there is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is very wickedness. Their throat is an open sepulcher. They flatter with their tongue." Wickedness mentioned again, but very wickedness. Notice the fullness in this category, in this topic. The full, they're full of it, and very wicked, the scripture says. Psalm chapter 58 and verse 2, the Bible says, "Yea, in heart ye do work wickedness. Ye weigh the violence of your hands in the earth." Wickedness. Departure from the rules of divine law and evil disposition or practices. Immorality, crime, sin, sinfulness, corrupt manners. What else? Well, covetousness. We did indeed talk about that on the last one. It means a strong or inordinate desire of obtaining and possessing some supposed good, usually in a bad sense, and applied to an inordinate desire for wealth or strong desire, eagerness, covetousness. Mark chapter 7 and verse 22 talks about that. It says, "Thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, and foolishness." You didn't realize how many places in the scriptures the Lord give us a list of sins, did you? I didn't know the Lord mentioned these sins over and over under different topics. As many times as the scriptures are mentioned, we have no excuse when we stand before the Lord of knowing what sins the Lord was talking about. Covetousness. The next one is maliciousness. And it simply means being malicious. Malice. Extreme enmity or disposition to injure someone. Malignity. Harboring ill will or enmity without provocation. Malevolent in the extreme, malignant in heart, proceeding from extreme, there's that extension again, not only full, not only very wicked, but extreme hatred or ill will, dictated by malice. And what is malice? "I'm gonna get that. I'm gonna get him." Malice, maliciousness, wishing somebody harm and injury. Sins. What else? Well, it mentions envy. What are we talking about? We're talking about sins of those who will not retain God in their knowledge and are turned over to a reprobate mind. This is their character. These are the sins that the Holy Ghost says that they are guilty of. Envy. They envy each other. To feel uneasiness, mortification, or discontent at the slight of superior excellence, reputation or happiness enjoyed by another, to repine at another's prosperity. Envy. To fret or grieve oneself at the real or supposed superiority of another, and to hate him on that account, and often or usually with a desire or an effort to depreciate the person, and with pleasure in seeing him depressed. Envy. Somebody gets a promotion. Somebody gets a blessing from the Lord. Somebody gets this, that. Now, not this particular crowd. This crowd is reprobate. The Lord's turned them over, and they envy one another just like the world envies one another. That's all they know. They envy one another. Their mind has been turned over to reprobate mind, and they envy each other just out of their nature. I hate it when somebody gets that. I should have got that promotion. I hate him. You envy it. You feel uneasiness and mortification and discontent at the sight of somebody else or somebody else that's better at something than you are. Envy. Envying people. The Bible says that who can stand before envy? In Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 4, the Bible says, wrath is cruel and anger is outrageous, but who is able to stand before envy? Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 17 says, let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. We're not to let our hearts be like that and envy. Or to fear the Lord all day long and think about Him and concentrate and meditate on Him and His words. And that's what we're doing, isn't it? That's why it's so good for us to study God's Word and know these things and hear them. Because the world's not going to teach you anything about any of this at all. Not even a hint. You get educated from the world, you're going to be worldly. That's what you're going to be. The world's not going to teach you anything about truth and doctrine. And especially this, sins. What else? Talking about the ones that don't like to retain God in their knowledge. Well, murder. Murder. The act of unlawfully killing a human being with premeditated malice by a person of a sound mind and in possession of his reason with prepense, aforethought, or premeditation. What's the Lord say about that over in Matthew chapter 19 and verse 18? The Bible says, He saith unto him, which? Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. Of course, we know this was the rich young ruler that came and wanted to ask the Lord Jesus Christ about eternal life and what he must do to have it. And the Lord said, you know the law. He said, thou shalt do no murder. Now, in another place, he talks about killing. But here, he said murder. Now, that's an interesting subject to find out the truth about. And what the Bible's mind is concerning murder is every person that dies under the condition of murder? No. Is killing someone, is it possible for somebody to be killed and it not be murder? Of course it is. And the Scriptures describe that. And you can find more about that on the ABCs of Christian Growth under the letter K, I think I mentioned to you before, under killing, the study of killing in the Scriptures. What else? Debate. Debate. Want to argue about everything. Disputing, arguing, contending. This is a sin of those that don't like to retain God in their knowledge. You go try to witness to them and tell them something about the Lord Jesus Christ or share a truth with them about what you know to be true in the Word of God, but they don't particularly want to accept that or retain that in their knowledge, anything having to do with God. They're going to argue with you and contend with you and dispute with you. Debate. Deceit. What is deceit? Fraudulence. A misleading falsehood. Misrepresent, dissimulation, premeditated lying, deviating from or perverting the truth, deceit. These are the ones that do not like to retain God in their knowledge. And I think this is the longest list out of all the ones that are mentioned in the Scriptures. Malignity, What's malignity? Well, it's maliciousness. It's having extreme malevolence or enmity. Extreme enmity. Extremely heinous. Extreme enmity or evil intentions. It's not only just being malicious, it's extremely malicious. Extremely heinous. Malignity. You know, not having God in your knowledge and being turned over to a reprobate mind, you notice that how these things have upgraded from just maliciousness to extreme to very wickedness to all that sort of business. Kind of upgrades everything when you ain't got God around, doesn't it? It does, because of the nature of man. Man don't do anything but get worse and worse and worse. You leave him to leave man to himself without God and in God's knowledge and the things of God, and you know what'll happen? He'll take himself out every time. He will destroy himself. Whisperers. That's another sin. One who whispers. A tattler. One who tells secrets. A conveyor of intelligence secretly. A backbiter. One who slanders secretly. Yeah. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 28 talks about that. It says, a froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends. And it does, doesn't it? The sin of whispering. Tattlers tell secrets. If they're secrets, they're secrets. And that's supposed to be shared, right? Backbiters. What is that? One who slanders. Charges falsely with malice. Attack the good name or reputation of someone. Or speaks ill of the absent. Backbiters. They slander people. That's one of the qualifications of a wife and a bishop and a deacon and a deacon's wife is not be slanderers, haters of God. I'm not sure this one is on any of the other ones. This is under the topic of the ones that don't like to retain God in their knowledge and God turn them over to a reprobate mind. And haters of God. They not only dislike God, they're disgusted with Him. They dislike and disgust. They have dislike and disgust for God and the things of God. That's why I don't believe there's such thing as a real atheist. Because if you're a real atheist, then you ain't got any God to say that you ain't got. You see, you don't have to deny what you don't have or what you don't believe in. Haters of God. I mean, there are people that claim, and that is a legitimate, I guess, religion, if you will, atheism and stuff like that, but it's not real. The Bible says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And why is he a fool? Because he knows better. The Bible says he's without excuse, and nature itself doth teach them. Nature teaches everybody that there is a God. And that they're going to have to give account somehow, some way. But they hate God. They hate God. But some of them are cowards. They won't say it out loud. I challenge some people sometimes when they're talking about there ain't no God and he don't do nothing but murder children and blah, 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 and all that mess. I say, why don't you just go ahead and just say it out loud? Why don't you quit beating around the bush? If you hate God, say so. He can take it. And I ain't had no takers on that one. But there are in this crowd here, don't like to retain God in their knowledge. They're haters of God. Now what else? Despiteful, showing malicious ill will and a desire to hurt, motivated by spite, vindictive, despiteful. Another one is proud, having inordinate self-esteem, possessing a high and unreasonable conceit of one's own excellence, either of body or mind, arrogant, haughty, supercilious, having or showing arrogant superiority to and disdain of those one views as unworthy. Look down on people, got your nose up in the air and looking down your nose at people. Proud. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 18 talks about that. It says, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Yeah. What else? Boasters, one who boasts, glories and vaunts ostentatiously, a gaudy outward display, kind of put on a show. Boasters. What else? Inventors of evil things. They not only do have pleasure in sin and pleasure in those that are like them, but they look for things to invent that are evil. Inventors of evil things. One who makes some new thing for the purpose of evil without God in his mind. Inventors of evil things. Like torture devices. And all sorts of business like that. That'd probably be some of them, I would say, wouldn't you? Man's the only one that can come up with some stuff. You know, animals don't do that to each other. They just have a fight, and if one of them kills the other one, then it's over with. And if they tear one another to pieces and call it a draw, they walk off and leave one another alone. You don't see animals making things up to make another animal suffer. Man's the only one that does that. Disobedient to parents. Somebody that doesn't want to retain God. Now, all you parents and all the people in the world ought to take this to heart. People that don't want to retain God in their knowledge sin in such a way to be disobedient to parents. They refuse to obey. Why? Because, well, they're proud and despiteful and haters of God and backbiters and whisperers and malignity and malicious and all that sort of business. They're not going to mind mama and daddy or behave as if they respected them and honored them like the Bible says. Disobedient to parents, refusing to obey, violation of a command, refusing to yield to authority. Disobedient to parents. The Bible says without understanding. They can't understand anymore. They don't have any understanding about truth because, first of all, they don't want it. Second of all, they don't want God in their knowledge. And they love their sin. Without understanding, they're unable and unwilling to comprehend the real state of things presented to them. You know, like, shut up with that mess. Are you Jesus people? Without understanding. There's another one here. Implacable. In other words, they can't be appeased. you can't appease them. Irreconcilable enmity and anger. You can't calm them down about this matter. You can't have a decent conversation with them. They can't be appeased. They're implacable. And the last one, this list here under the topic of what we're talking about, sins of those who will not retain God in their knowledge and are turned over to a reprobate mind, is unmerciful. They usually don't have any mercy about them. Only people that love the Lord and believe in the Lord, whether they're saved or not, they fear God, they can come up with mercy. And to have a heart that cares about another human being, even in some way or another, especially the saved. But these people that don't want God in their knowledge and enjoy their sin and enjoy everybody else that's like them and get pleasure out of it are unmerciful. They're not merciful. They're cruel. They're inhumane to such beings as are in one's power, not disposed to spare or forgive, unconscionable, and their conscience is defiled. Remember that? That's this crowd. And the Bible has quite a bit of sin to identify about this crowd, doesn't it? Sins of those who will not retain God in their knowledge and are turned over to a reprobate mind. Unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, implacable and unmerciful. So you shouldn't be surprised about somebody that hates God being involved in these things, in these sins, and these sins being part of their life. You shouldn't be surprised about that, because the Bible says these are the sins of those sort of people. And that's not all. The next topic is sins of the unrighteous who will not inherit the kingdom of God. Who will not inherit the kingdom of God. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9 and 10, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." Excuse me. Now, sins of the unrighteous. And what is unrighteous? They're not righteous. They're not righteous. There are a few of sins in this crowd that were not mentioned in either of the other ones. Fornicators was the first one. That's mentioned there again. That's a popular sin, isn't it? The incontinence or lewdness of unmarried persons, male or female, also the criminal conversation of a married man with an unmarried woman. Adultery, incest, and idolatry is what fornicators, the sin of fornication is. Sins of the unrighteous who will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, what is the kingdom of God? That's another study in our ABCs of Christian growth. I think you can find that in on the website Barnhouse Ministries in our schooling under the heading of I'll tell you when I remember. It's not under any of the title is extra studies or something like that. It's the side studies, like devotional studies that are on the site there. It's not like the ABCs of Christian Growth under that title. It's under the other studies under there. I can't remember the name of it right now. Forgive me for that. Getting old. Idolaters. Now, that's probably one of the first times this is brought up. Sins of the unrighteous who will not inherit the kingdom of God. There is a difference in the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. One of them is a place, and one of them is spiritual. One of them is literal, tangible. You can touch it, see it. And one of them is spiritual. The kingdom of God is within you, the Bible says. The kingdom of God is spiritual. It's the kingdom of spirituality of the Lord. The kingdom of God. In other words, the unrighteous that commit these sins, they cannot inherit spiritual things. They can't know the things of God. They can't, if they commit these sins and they're unrighteous and they commit these sins, they cannot understand the kingdom of God. It says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God?" If you're busy performing these sins and these sins are in your life, you cannot inherit the things of the kingdom of God, the things of the Spirit, the kingdom of God. Fornicators. If you fornicate, and you're a sex nut, and sex is one of your gods, and you follow that mess, and the vileness of it, and everything else, you can't expect to know anything about God and the Word of God, the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is within you. Who else? Well, what other sins? Idolaters. Idolaters. These are sins that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God. Idolaters are worshipers of idols. One who pays divine honors to images, statues, false gods, or representations of anything made by hands. One who worships as a deity that which is not God, a pagan. Idolaters. You say, "Oh, Brother TV, people don't really do it." Yes, they do. Yes, they do. The Catholics got a store where you can go buy, if you got all these little gods, you got the big toe god, they're little statues, and all of them are different gods. One of them's for money, one of them's for health, one of them's for this, and you pray to these little statues. And if you happen to knock one off the shelf, the big toe god, or whoever it is, then you can go down to the store and buy another one just like him, put him right back in place. Don't tell me. And people go out and you go on Barnhouse Ministries and look at some of the stuff on there. I got a picture of a Christmas tree on there that I took in one of the stores, and it's got a price tag on it. $600 and something, almost $700 for a Christmas tree. And the Lord talks about that in the Old Testament, bowing down and making an idol out of a tree. He said, you cut it up and you use part of it to cook your food and part of it to warm yourself. And then you take the rest of it and make an abomination, an idol, and you fall down and worship it. You say, "Well, I don't fall down no Christmas tree." What do you do when you go to get the gifts out from under it? You fall down on your knees, don't you? You got to be very careful. The devil's tricky. He's tricky. But idolaters, a worshiper of idols, one who pays divine honors to images. An automobile could be an idol. Your bank account can be an idol. Idolaters, whatever you worship. Statues and false gods and devils that are behind all that mess. America's gods are sex and money and education. Education is an, you can idolize education. All these hot shots that got 30 years of education and don't know a thing. Their brains burn out with a bunch of lies, thinking they come from a pool of goo, and that a rock from the moon is successful, is success, and all that kind of business, and deny God. Sins of the unrighteous who will not inherit the kingdom of God, idolaters. Another one is adulterers. We've seen that before. Violation of the marriage bed. I don't think it was on the last one, but it's on this one. Violation of the marriage bed. All manners of lewdness or unchastity. Idolatry or apostasy from the true God. Adulterating away from God. Whenever we're supposed to be in fellowship with the God and you leave the Lord in your heart, you are an adulterer from God. Being considered as an unnatural union. What else? Effeminate. To grow or make womanish. Having the qualities of a female, of the female sex. Now that's coming out of the closet now in 2023 called transsexual. I'm a trans woman. Everything about him looks like a man, except in his mind. He says he's a woman. Effeminate. To grow or make womanish. Having the qualities of a of the female sex, soft or delicate to an unmanly degree, tender, womanish, weakness in men, in males deemed a reproach, unmanly. Yeah, the scripture says for a man not to give his strength to a woman. The strength, what kind of strength? Manly strength. The strength he has in being a man. Two different creatures. A man and a woman are not the same. Period. No matter what you conjure up in your brain. The Bible says that it's unrighteousness. And it says the sins of the unrighteous who will not inherit the kingdom of God. If you're a man, and you tell everybody you're a woman, and you have womanish qualities, and walk around acting like a woman, and dressing like a woman, and behaving like a woman, but you're a man, you're not going to inherit the things of God. You're not going to get anything spiritual from God, or the scriptures. What else? Abusers of themselves with mankind. One who perverts the natural, the natural as God intended it. Abusers of themselves with mankind. Now that could be classified in the trans business and lesbians and queer and all that business. The LGBTQRSTUV, whatever it is. But abusers of themselves with mankind, they abuse themselves. God doesn't call it your preference. He said it's abuse and you abuse yourselves. Now, that's one of the first words all these I got my rights and I can be whatever I want to be and blah-bitty-blah-bitty kind of people. That's one of the first things that they're going to cry about is abuse. But the fact of the matter is they're the top-of-the-line abusers. They start out abusing themselves because that's what God calls it, abusers of themselves with mankind. One who perverts the natural as God intended it. Men with men, women with women, not sodomites. You see what God did with the example of Sodom in the scriptures, and he even tells you that he did that, and he had it written down in his word. God the Holy Ghost had it written down in his word for an example of those that will live ungodly. That's what the scripture says. And he mentioned it specifically. But the sins of the unrighteous that will not inherit the kingdom of God, this is what the Bible says their sins are. Abusers of themselves with mankind. Not only that, they're thieves. Thieves. The act of stealing. The private, unlawful, felonious taking of another person's goods or movables with the intent to steal them. To constitute theft and taking must be in private and without the owner's knowledge, and it must be unlawful or felonious. That is, it must be a design or deprive the owner of his property privately and against his will. Now, nowadays, in this Laodicean age, the last days, the last days, people just walk right up and take it from you. And if you say something, they'll blow your head off. They don't even bother doing it in private anymore, even though that's still a thief. Used to, thieves would do it in the dark and whenever you were gone and take it from you without your permission and try to just get away without, you just all of a sudden it just come up missing. But nowadays, they come in your house and put a knife to your throat or a gun to your head and say, I'm taking it and I don't care what you think. Thieves. Isn't it interesting that that was what the sins that were identified of the two men that were crucified with the Lord Jesus, in capital punishment. Thieves. Covetous. This crowd is covetous. A strong or inordinate desire of obtaining and possessing some supposed good, usually in a bad sense, and applied to an inordinate desire for wealth, strong desire, eagerness. Mark chapter 7, verse 22 says, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, and foolishness. And remember what Colossians said, we read on that last one? It's also mentioned on this one also under covetous, the sin of covetous. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. You know what mortifying is? Like a mortician. It's putting it to death. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Remember we talked about what the members were when we a couple topics ago in our study here about what your members are, your hands, your eyes, your from your feet to your head, all the parts, really. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Covetous. What else? Drunkards. That's the first time this one's come up. This crowd sins by being drunkards. Ones that will not inherit the kingdom of God or cannot will not inherit the kingdom of God. You can't be spiritual and be a drunk. You can talk to God being a drunk. I used to be one. But you can't be spiritual. You can't inherit the kingdom of God. What is a drunkard? One given to ebriety or an excessive use of strong liquor, a person who habitually or frequently is drunk. Not drinking. Someone that's drunk. I never even drunk. I tell people, you know, when I used to drink real bad, and praise God for taking that from me. When I used to drink real bad, I didn't drink because I enjoyed it. I drank to get to the next one so I could get drunk and not have to think about things. But drunkards, you can't inherit spiritual things by being a drunk. You ain't even got your mind right. Another sin in this bunch here is revilers. One who reviles another. One who treats another with contemptuous language. One who uses reproachful language against another. You talk down on them. Revilers. That's one of the sins of this bunch that can't inherit the kingdom of God. Extortioners. The act of extorting, the act of practicing or wresting anything from a person by force, duress, menaces, authority, or by an undue exercise of power. You extort from them. You extort something from them. Illegal extraction. It's not yours, and you take it by force. Illegal compulsion to pay money or to do some other act. Extortioners. That was one that wasn't mentioned on the last couple. You can't be an extortioner and take from people by force and by duress and authority, use your authority and exercise power on people to take things and extort things from people and places, and be spiritual. And the kingdom of God be growing in you, and you be a servant of the Most High God. You can't have the kingdom of God growing in you and working in you, being these things, having these sins in your life. And it says, sins of the unrighteous who will not inherit the kingdom of God. If you're busy with some of these sins and dead up in the middle of them, you're probably suffering spiritually. It says fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, abusers of themselves with mankind, thieves, covetousness, drunkards, revilers, and extortioners. And that ends this list. So what have we talked about today? Talked about a lot of sins, hadn't we? But individual sins specified to individual crowds. And there are others that we're going to talk about, the topics. We talked about sins of those who will not retain God in their knowledge and are turned over to a reprobate mind. And then we also talked about the sins of the unrighteous who will not inherit the kingdom of God. And some of those sins were different. Quite a few of them were different. So it does matter. But the good thing is, brothers and sisters, and I'm assuming that most of you are saved, because I think only a saved person or a person seeking God would study like we study. But the good thing about it is the Lord made a way for us to get cleaned up. And he said, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Isn't that wonderful? You confess one sin and tell him the truth from your heart about that sin. Lord, I've been fornicating, and I know that it's wrong, and I know that I've been wrong the whole time, and I don't want to do it anymore, and it has power over me, and I'm asking you, Lord, to help me and forgive me for that. And you confess it to him. You don't beat around the bush, just you and him, nobody else. Or idolatry, or adulterers, or effeminate, whatever it is. And the Lord will forgive you for it, and not only cleanse that, but cleanse all the other sins that you don't even know about that you've committed and clean you up right then. 1 John 1:9. That's what the Bible says. Isn't that wonderful? Only God would have grace like that and mercy like that. Man wouldn't do it. He'd charge you for it. He'd charge you for forgiveness, wouldn't he? He sure would. The Catholics do. You go in there to one of them little booths and go in there, you got to pay. I'm glad our Lord ain't like that. And it costs you on some of the other religions too. Now that's just the truth, period. That's just the truth. All right, well, we're going to stop right there. Let me give you these scriptures for today. You ready? Sins of those who will not retain God in their knowledge and are turned over to a reprobate mind. Here are the scriptures for that category, that topic. Romans chapter 1, verse 28 through 32. Judges chapter 20, verse 12. Psalm chapter 5, verse 9. Psalm chapter 58, verse 2. Mark chapter 7, Mark chapter 7, verse 22. Colossians chapter 3, verse 5. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 4. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 17. Matthew chapter 19, verse 18. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 28. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18. Those are the scriptures identifying the sins that were under the topic of sins of those who don't want to retain God in their knowledge, and God turns them over to a reprobate mind. Here's the other one. Sins of the unrighteous who will not inherit the kingdom of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 and 10. Now, there's a chapter in here also, Exodus chapter 22. You've probably already read that from some of our other studies. Mark chapter 7, verse 22. Colossians chapter 3, verse 5. And those are the scriptures for today's study. Well, brothers and sisters, I thank you so much. I can't tell you how glad I am and that we fellowship around God's Word, and we'll get to see one another. If not here, we'll get to see one another face to face and remember that we studied together, and it's going to be wonderful. The Lord said for you not to think that all that you do for Him in your studying is in vain, because it's not. When you study God's Word, you're studying something supernatural that is alive and it lives, and it's going to live in you, God's Word. So saturate yourself with it, and the Holy Ghost will bring all these things to your remembrance when you need them. Amen. Well, the Lord bless you, Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. Until our next study together, I'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.